this episode of GeoTalk, we look at 10 years of earth caching, we head up into the Blue Mountains, and Alan gives us a funny story from the Waikato region of New Zealand. All this and more on GeoTalk. Hi, GeoTalk listeners. This is Darren recording just a little intro before the program starts. Most of the recording was actually done on my phone while I was out earlier today geocaching. And although the cicadas didn't sound too bad to me as I was walking through the bush, they come through very loud on this recording. And unfortunately, a lot of it contains cicadas. So if you don't like the sound of them, you may want to give this episode a miss. Anyway, on with the show. Well, g'day GeoTalk listeners for episode 102 in December 2013. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors, and welcome to the podcast. If you haven't checked out our website and for all our show notes, go to geotalkpodcast.com and you'll find links to various things we mention in the show. You can probably hear in the background the cicadas and all the different insects and bugs chirping away. I'm actually heading off to find an old school cave up in Werriwood, up in the northern beaches area of Sydney. I don't get up this way all that often, but I had to pick up a present for Christmas, which I'll be busy putting together on Christmas Eve. I'm sure the boys will get a lot of fun bouncing up and down on it. But while I was here, I thought, oh, well, I'll grab this cache that was planted, I think, back in 2002. It's quite an old one called Werriwood Wet and Wild. Speaking of Wet and Wild, the Wet and Wild that's happened in Sydney certainly is attracting a lot of attention. I heard yesterday someone tried to get in at 9:15, 15 minutes after the gates opened the other day, and they couldn't get in. How busy it is. Now, in this episode of GeoTalk, we're going to go across the ditch to get an update from Alan, Radio Nut 50. And talking about Radio Nut 50, we'll get a bit of audio of me heading up into the mountains with him back in, I think it was about September when we were up there. So it's quite a while ago, actually, now. But we'll take you up there. And then we'll get an update from Web Guy, who's a geocacher who likes the Blue Mountains. And gives us a bit of an update on what the conditions are like up there after the bushfires that occurred back in October. If you want to contribute to GeoTalk, it's fairly easy. All you need to do is send us an email, geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can either write it out or, even better, record it and send us an audio file. Or you can call it in on a GeoTalk hotline number, 02-800-50-436. That's 02-800-50-436. And if you're calling from New Zealand, don't forget to use the +1 country code at the start. Well, given it's summer, I actually got an email the other day from Sunny, Sandy and Sean over at Podcacher asking me for some tips for caching in the desert or caching in the heat for those of us down in the southern hemisphere of Australia. It certainly has been hot, and in fact, even while I'm walking right now, it's 36 degrees, which is very close to 100 Fahrenheit, and the humidity is way up at the moment because I'm near the coast, and that's why all the cicadas are going nuts at the moment. But check out episode 449 of Podcacher, which came out last week, and you can hear my my tips on caching in the heat. Probably the main ones to remember is to make sure you've got sun protection, and that's a hat and sunscreen. Make sure you've got plenty of water. Let people know where you're going. Keep an eye out for any bushfire alerts, and finally, keep your eye out for snakes as well. On the next episode, I'll play some audio of Webby and I. We went out to Broken Hill and back, and I was actually surprised. We only found one snake on the whole trip. Boy, it was a big one. Anyway, so there's some tips. Listen to Podcacher episode 449 on caching in the summer, or caching in the desert, caching in the heat, basically. This coming January marks the 10th anniversary of earth caching, and my good friend Gary Lewis, also known as Geo Aware, who used to be at Geoscience Australia and now with the Geological Society of America over in the US. And he started Earthcation with the very first one placed at Wasp's Head on the south coast of New South Wales back in January 2004. Now, Geocaching New South Wales will be holding an event at that location a few days after the 10th anniversary, just to mark the occasion. But also there'll be a number of other events marking the 10th anniversary of Earthcaching. So if you know you're into Earthcaching and you want to be part of the fun, check out earthcache.org for details, and also let us know if you've got an Earthcache event that's coming up, or just, you know, shout it out on Facebook and so forth. And also, you can go to the Geocaching New South Wales website. That's geocachingnsw.com, and click on the shop there, and they've actually got geocoins representing the Wasp Head area. So if you want to buy a little memento there from the Geocaching New South Wales Association, check that out. Well, I'm coming up close to where the cache should be, and it's quite a nice little waterfall in front of me. I've got to work out where to head to next, so I'll be back with you in a sec. Well, I've just found one cache along the way to this wet and wild cache. And yeah, it took a little bit of work trying to find out how to get up because, as I said, there was this waterfall in front of me and there was no easy looking way of getting up over it. So I had to wander around a little bit. I eventually found a bit of a path and a track and made my way up and found the cache. And I'm sitting here at the moment surrounded by buzzing mosquitoes. Unfortunately, I did bring some mosquito repellent, so they're staying away for the moment, however long that lasts before I sweat it all out. But yeah, it's certainly a warm day and a good reminder to bring some water along. Well, talking of water, it's time to head across the ditch, cross the Tasman to New Zealand, and get an update from Radio Nut 50.
Hi there again from Radio Nut 50 with some caching thoughts from New Zealand for December. Well, it's the end of 2013. I'm recording this here in Hamilton on the weekend before Christmas. Maybe when you get to listen to it, that time has passed, though. I wonder how Santa treated you this year. Did you get that new GPS receiver or perhaps the latest smartphone with a much better GPS? Who knows what I'm going to get. The big activity for the Butterfly Lady and Radionut team since last year talk has been a new activity for us. We celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary by walking the Queen Charlotte track. 5 days of walking in the beautiful Marlborough Sounds. For us, this was a new extreme for continuous walking, but we thoroughly enjoyed the trip in this beautifully scenic and remote area. On the walk, we found 12 caches, all of those that were available except one. We did have one DNF, which was a pity. It was a really great time, though, and we enjoyed some caching around Picton and Blenheim for a day and a half before we returned back to Hamilton by plane. We did let go a couple of new travel bugs on the walk as a racing pair again. This time it was some pukekos, the New Zealand swamp wading bird. This coincidentally was the mascot bird for the Great New Zealand Second Mega Event in Auckland earlier this year. But although this is a very popular walking and cycling track, to date there have been no further finders of the cache that we chose to put them in, so our TBs are nesting quietly on the bush track. As is fairly typical these days, it took us a while to actually find a cache big enough to put two travel bugs in at once. But we did find it. Our last racing pair of travel bugs, the zebras that we took to Australia, didn't do too well on their last trip either. This time Linda's zebra's totally lost, and mine sat with a fairly inactive cache for several months. After a couple of prompting emails, though, he's back on his way again. He's still on the wrong side of the Tasman Sea, but I guess he'll get back to me sometime. As I've mentioned before in the Geotalk, this releasing of competing travel bugs does add some fun to couples who cache together. We're off for a road trip over Christmas break shortly. We're having a few days with the family in some different places and a bit of caching in a loop around the southern and central North Island. We look forward to some interesting cache finds before returning back to Hamilton and work in mid-January. Before we depart, though, we had to do some urgent cache maintenance of some of ours, and one was a little bit amusing. We've got a hide on a toothbrush fence where a mildly eccentric owner has invited passers-by to hang used toothbrushes on his fence. There's hundreds of them there now. Well, some years ago, we hung a cache amongst them. It was a construction made up of a toothbrush and a toothpaste tube that was actually the home of a log sheet. But a short while later, it got vandalised. Well, we replaced it with a simple bison tube for a while constructing a replacement, and that went out right at the start of this year. But, darn it, frustratingly, we got another set of DNF logs this month, and I called out there yesterday, and indeed it was gone. But on scrambling over the fence, around, into the paddock behind it, I found the remains of the toothbrush cache, with great big teeth marks all over it. Well, there's no wild animals in that area, but there are a whole lot of well-chewed toothbrushes as well. And the secret's out. Bovine vandal muggles. I guess there was some young stock in that dairy farm area, and they got curious about these things and decided to chew on whatever they found on the fence, and they wrecked our cache again. So back in went the bison tube with a little bit of decoration this time, and Plan C is being hatched at the moment. This spot does deserve a cache, though, because it's off the main road, and it's a visual feast for those calling in. That's what caching's all about, to get people to interesting places, I believe. Another task we've had is I've got a whole lot of plastic boxes on the back lawn I've been painting, and I've got an ammo can ready. One of our ammo can caches up country has been reported missing. I sort of don't believe it, because although it's a big box, it's hidden well away from the public eye, and I'm pretty hopeful we're going to find it sitting under a bush where we left it. And we've got a whole bunch of freshly painted plastic click-clack boxes to perhaps lay a few caches on our trip. Well, do have a good break, everybody. We look forward to hearing of some of the caching stories you have by email or voice recording for our next year talk. With that, it's back to you now, Darren.
Well, here I am. I've just found the cache that I was after, the Warriewood Wet and Wild. Well, I've got a mosquito trying to get a bit of a feed. I think it's found somewhere where I didn't spray myself, sits on the phone and then goes for my hands. But it's great to find another old school cache, one with a very old GC number. I can't even remember it off the top of my head. In fact, actually, let me quickly look it up. It's GC5973, Wet and Wild in Warriewood. Reloaded, so it must be the second version of it. It was hidden back in May 2002, so it's quite an old cache. As I was walking up, I recognised the tree that was part of the clue as to where to turn off from the river, and just as I jumped onto a rock, a bush turkey quickly flew away from the tree, so it must have, and then it actually headed up towards the cache. So maybe it was meant to be showing me where to go. Well, regular listeners to the podcast will know that Alan and I have crossed paths on a number of occasions, both here in Australia and in New Zealand. And recently, Alan was over in Australia for a conference, and on his way back home, he decided to drop into Sydney for a bit of geocaching with yours truly. Now, rather than take him around to a whole heap of micros around the Sydney CBD or even the Sydney Basin, I decided we'd do a bit of sightseeing as well. So we headed up to the Blue Mountains. So here's Alan and I doing a bit of geocaching, Blue Mountain style. We're up in the Blue Mountains today. I'm here with Radio Nut 50. Hello, Alan.
G'day there, Darren. Great spot.
Yeah, we've managed to knock off a couple of geocaches, some that I've found in the past, Royalty with a View and Sublime. But we've just completed a slightly more difficult one called the Sublime Adventure, and certainly got my heart racing and my breath going. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, heck yes. We've just about got our breath back, haven't we, Darren? We're sitting here at the spot right now looking out through some trees at the fantastic view in this area, and maybe contemplating we've got to get back somehow, back to where the car is.
That's right. We've got a rope that we've got to climb back up. And it's a typical Jono San one. I should have realised that it wasn't going to be easy, but I think the terrain rating actually reflects that it is a little bit of effort. But I was
Look at the terrain. What was the terrain?
I think it's 3.5.
I'm not sure. I should have checked that when you said, let's do this.
Well, I deliberately made sure you didn't see it. But Webby assured me that it would all be fine. And it's a fantastic day for caching in the mountains today.
So it's a beautiful mid-September day, clear sky, hardly any wind, particularly after the gales that we had yesterday, probably about 15, 16 degrees at the moment. But I don't know about you, but after that case, I think we deserve a coffee in Lura. What do you think?
Well, I actually thought there was a barista here. We must have missed that one too. But yes, I think we'll go looking for something soon.
All right. Refreshing. We'll be back soon with a couple of more caches up in the Blue Mountains. Well, we're walking up the main street of Katoomba, which is the main city or main township in the Blue Mountains, having just finished off. I'm getting a message from how are you going? So we're just walking up the main street of Katoomba, up in the heart of the Blue Mountains, having just finished a lunch. How did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed my pie. I had meat in mine, though.
Yeah, no, I went the vegetarian option, the lentil one. I was feeling a little bit hippie-ish up in the Blue Mountains. So we've been to a few great little vistas, one including Echo Point, the famous tourist spot. What did you think of Echo Point and the Three Sisters?
Wow, what an awesome view there. And a lot of steps down to the Three Sisters. Sort of going down was one trip and coming back was certainly a bit tougher, eh?
Yeah, there certainly were a lot of huffing and puffing. But I was proud to see we'd both passed quite a number of people.
Yep,
in fact, some fairly fit-looking young girls.
They did too. They were a bit slow.
Yeah, they were. But it's just a gorgeous day up here. A little bit of cloud now, but still quite warmish, probably in the high teens, low 20s. And we're about to head off now to another great vista called Anvil Rock, so we can have a look at the Gross Valley, which is on the north side of this ridge. What's been the highlight so far, though?
Well, that's a little bit hard to identify. Just the darn scenery. Get out there in the bush and the quiet areas, see some tourist spots, but just that fantastic vista from all of those places we've been to. Really fun.
Okay. Well, we're fueled up, ready to go. I mean, most of this is going to be driving this next bit, but we're looking forward to checking out Anvil Rock and having a look up the Gross Valley and see how many more caches we can find along the way. Well, you can probably tell by the road noise that's in the background, we're on our way home. We're finishing up. We've just had a fairly long day up in the mountains. I think we got up there about 9, and we've spent about 8 hours up there. Alan, what was your impressions of caching up in the Blueies?
Well, we had a heck of a lot of fun, Darren. I think you picked a few good ones for me. And yes, thoroughly enjoyed it. Good bit of scenery, got a bit of infrastructure to look at. And a most interesting one that you said I was going to get dirty on, and I did. I've now got to dust myself off before I can get on an aeroplane.
Yeah, we've got photographic proof that Alan has been reborn as a new cacher, if he wasn't already into caching and getting dirty. But that was a lot of fun. And actually, the very last one we found was a nice little old, ruined cottage now with a tower, an obelisk. What's the name? Obelisk?
I can never pronounce. Obelisk?
Obelisk, that's
the
it. That I'd never known about before, and it was very close to a car park that I've parked in many times. So I think it was the father of New South Wales Railways, John Whitten. So there you go. I learned something today from geocaching.
Caching can teach us all something, can't it, Darren?
That's right, that's right. And it was such a beautiful day today. We went up to Anvil Rock and found a cache up there, and we could see from more than 100 kilometres away, we could see Sydney, the Sydney skyline. I couldn't make out the Harbour Bridge, but I could certainly make out parts of Sydney.
We've got the photographic evidence to prove it.
That's right. So we've had a good day. If you're ever in the Sydney region, don't go caching just around the city. Why don't you spend a day, head up into the Blue Mountains and do a few caches. Might even put a list of the ones that we did, or some of the ones that we did, up in the show notes, and you can check it out. Alan, thanks very much for joining me on a trip up into the Blue Mountains.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, Darren. Thank you for being a good tour guide.
Okay, I look forward to getting the same treatment when I head back to the Waikato.
It is.
Sometime in the future.
Look forward to that as well.
All right. Thanks for joining us,
Jerry.
Now, that audio was recorded back in late September of this year, and about 3 weeks or 4 weeks after that, the massive bushfires that started in Listow spread into the Blue Mountains National Park, along with torching or burning down about 200 homes in the Springwood Winmalee area. And it's meant the geocaching has changed quite a bit in the short term anyway, with a few geocaches burned down, and quite a bit of change to the landscape, including a lot of park closures. So I thought I'd chat to one of the regular geocachers from that area, Neil, good friend of mine, also known as Team Web Guy, find out what's happened up in the Blue Mountains since the bushfires.
In our last episode, I said I was going to head up to the Blue Mountains after the bushfires and go with Team Web Guy to check out on some of his caches around the Winmalee area of the lower Blue Mountains. I unfortunately didn't get time to go up there, but I did get the next best thing, and that is to get Team Web Guy, who I trapped in a car for 4 days anyway, to tell me how did you go searching on your caches that were hit by the bushfires.
I didn't get a chance to check all of them. I went out onto Ricky's Ridge, which is an area where I've got a couple of caches, and there's a couple of other caches out there as well, which we checked on those. They were all intact. The fire did get through that area, but everything was okay. The ones that are on Badman Ridge, which is one ridge to the west, a couple of those, well, they're all hidden in places where fire wouldn't affect them anyway, but the bush itself would have been thoroughly burnt through. So I've left those offline, pending getting out there and actually having a look to see if they still constitute enough of a challenge to make them worthwhile staying there. But there was a one or two caches out at Mount Wilson I know got melted. I lost one out on the Nunes Plateau that got melted, but the majority of the caches out on the Nunes Plateau seem to have survived, so caching's back to normal out there, sort of thing.
Right. Now, I mean, I did hear from, I think it's Busy Gizzy and his daughter, which I've forgotten her team.
Nicole.
She said that she lost a couple of caches up along the Winmalee Road. I mean, but most of hers were plastic ones, I understand. All yours were ammo cans, is that right?
Yeah, I basically put ammo cans out. I've got a couple that are plastic, but they're so deep in places that are black that the fire's not going to affect them anyway.
Yeah. Now, some parts of the Blue Mountains are still closed off because there were two main fires, the one around Springwood, Winmalee. The areas around there still closed?
No, as far as I know, all the areas there are back open again.
Okay. But the fires that went along the Bells line of road, you were saying Mount Wilson is closed off?
Yeah, northern side of the Bungalbori, the canyons over there are closed off for this season. Not that there's any caches out there. And also a number of places out on the Nunes Plateau where Hole in the Wall and a few of the others out that way, they're also closed off for this entire season to try and let the bush regenerate, which it already is because, you know, the amount of green that's coming back on trees is pretty amazing, but that's what the bush does.
Yeah, and I suppose any geocachers who do go out in these areas, you have to be careful because there are trees that have been damaged, so watch out for falling branches. I suppose, as you pointed out, though, it could be easier for some of those more remote caches if they're still around because a lot of the undergrowth has gone, so it won't be as much of a challenge to get out there.
No, that's right, and I would say that with the rate that the growth comes back, it'll actually be a bigger challenge and thicker challenge to get to, so maybe it's time to get out and try some of those ones now.
Okay. All right, well, that's a quick update on the Blue Mountains region. Don't forget, if you're going to go heading out into that region, to check out the New South Wales National Parks website before you go, as well as any other regions that are affected by bushfire around the country, because we're heading in deep into summer. Keep your eyes open for any alerts. Thanks, Neil, for a quick update.
No worries.
Well, I found both caches and I'm heading back to the car, and I thought I'd better check on the GeoTalk mailbag before I finish up for this episode. First of all, an email from Mark Dowding, who wants to say, glad to hear the show will carry on, and like you, I'm a Mac user and have made use of iCaching. The show made me revisit the software, and I have to say that it's improved since I last used it. We're finally getting something that is close to GSAC in features. I think it's time I reintroduced myself back to my geocaching. Anyway, thanks for the show. Thanks for that, Mark. And actually, I emailed the creator of iCaching the other day just with some suggestions regarding caches along a route and also about being able to pull in-light or images that are in the actual descriptions, because I know that GSAC, and I also think that the Open Cache Manager for Linux also does it, so that you can import it into your Magellan unit and probably other units as well. He says he's definitely working on the cache along a route. The import images may be a little bit harder. But what I was really impressed with was, even though he doesn't have any forums or a Facebook page, he does have a website, that he responded within 24 hours. That was really good, and that's good to see. So, yeah, like you, I've been using eye-caching a lot more and quite enjoying it. I just passed quite a large cicada just sitting on the boardwalk that I'm walking on there. And another one from Mark Seabury. Seabury, I think it is, from Seabury's Oz. The geocache is going across around the country at the moment. And they said they've just visited Sydney and they arrived in Sydney at Katoomba and then booked in at the caravan park at Lane Cove National Park because it's the most affordable one in the Sydney region, which actually it is. It's one of the probably the best ones if you're staying in Sydney in a camper van or a caravan or camping. And he said that what luck it was that when they sent on the GPS, they were near GC3E, Australia's first geocache placement. How sheer dumb luck that was. Anyway, the kids logged that as their 500th find, and he's going to log it as his 1,000th find. And they also mentioned that they've found a couple of old school caches, and they've logged the old school caches a note for the moment, hoping to find a lot more before they leave New South Wales. And just a reminder, the old school cache challenge in New South Wales has to find 10 of the 40-odd oldest caches in New South Wales from 2000 and 2001. I'll give you a link in the show notes to check that one out. So for our next episode, given that it's the new year, we're looking for your 2014 geocaching resolutions. What targets or goals do you have for 2014 or 2014? And we're going to draw one out from random and send out a geocoin to one of the people who submit. And we'll send out the Geocaching New South Wales 2013 geocoin, which commemorates or celebrates Wasp Head, the site of the very first Earth cache hidden back in January 2004. All you have to do to send in your entry is either to our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/geotalk, or you can email it in to geotalkpodcast@gmail.com, or better still, phone it in to 02800 50436. That's 02800 50 GPS. So in our next episode, we're going to head out west to Broken Hill and beyond with myself and Web Guy. And until next episode, have a Merry Christmas and a safe caching New Year.